Major Ploughman, Rail 13. You were saying there was a terrible incident in this time.
Towards the end of this phase, I think by this time the plans had fallen. We were on a freight march on the main road, and a new enemy. We weren't within shelling range. And it was very hot, and they were riding on the outside of tents, of the tents.
Were these your own crewmen?
Yes. Not in my, I don't know about my troop, but they were a whole squadron was on this, in this column. And suddenly this plane came out of the air and started spraying his machine gun fire. And there were three casualties. One was killed, and Corporal was killed, and another three, and two other men wounded. And reading the war diary, they say that it was apparently a plane from Corsica went to the south of France to find their targets, and was told to come back now, recently, and shoot up anything they could see there. We all thought it was an American. I can't verify that now.
Were there any other instances of that sort of thing happening?
No.
Sort of battle accidents like that? Were they?
I think the Poles were gone. In the last offensive on the Bow Valley, I think the Poles had gone in their trenches. Yeah.
But was there anything like that that happened to you or that you saw?
There's a lot of work that I would. Nobody in my group was hit. I can't say whether any of my men were riding on the outside of the tanks. I could have been a bit of a spoiled sport about that. by this time, France had fallen. And the idea was that there would be this big attack against the Gothic line and on the Adriatic, and that 6th Army division would cross the Apennines and debarge on the Po Valley and catch the Germans in the rear. Well, this, I think it was time for early or mid September. And as I say, Florence had fallen, and we, the American 5th Army had made contact with the Germans north of France in the foothills of the Apennines. And the 6th Army Division was by this time under command of Mark Flath, I think. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, we were to go through one of these roads through the Apennines. So, having gotten as far as this junction of the Arno and the Sierra, we came down from the north, it was called Ponta Sierra, we turned right and we still had this job of clearing this plot of land on the north side of the Arno. Able to patrol on the main road on the north side of it. And then we directed towards Dikamana, which is at the foot of the Appalachian but all, it's been going for some time, all this clearing of these, the Gardam area, and then of the features beyond. They were on the flank guards.
What sort of positions did the Germans have on the Pratomania, and what was the ground like?
Well, I didn't really come across any set positions. They were, I say, they were supposed to have two divisions there. It was a very large feature. I can't, without studying the map, I can't give the details, but if it was 30 miles long and about 8 wide or something like that, was a guess. But the trouble is that the heavens opened in the middle of September and everything got bogged down. And progress became very difficult. The story went that three soldiers in the Alpha Brigade crawled on the top of the mountain in the tropical kit, which was warm in the summer, froze to death. Such a change. And all through the winter, the infantry battled through the Apennines. The conditions were terrible. The mud, the vehicles couldn't get up the road, and the mills were used to supply the trenches.
Which flank were you on when you were doing the flank guard screening?
Well, on the right of the Fifth Army. Mm. Yeah. We went up, it followed the Arno in a northeasterly direction, and then we got to this river, this area, and we turned right and continued with very hilly or semi-mountainous country on our right. And then eventually you've gone face to face with the mountains, which go from there to the sea.
Yes.
And there are only a limited number of main roads from. And of course, it's very easy for the Germans to hold up the whole army, which they did. And the winter was spent like that, battling through there, gaining a bit of ground. It was impossible for tanks.
I was going to say, it sounds to me as though there would have been a very, very limited possibility if you were going to action in such circumstances. If you've got serious mountains with only narrow routes through, what sort of role is there for a reconnaissance regiment?
Yes. Once the plain north of Florence had been cleared, tanks could do little or nothing. Mm. We were used in observation and the flank guard until the weather conditions got pretty bad. I think by the end of October we were withdrawn and went into a suburb of Florence, Settignano.
Mm. As you said in your narrative that it was in October that happened, that you were withdrawn back to Settignano for the winter. Yeah. What was this suburb like?
Very nice. Well, it was like a nice Italian village, really. Village church. Square, there was quite a sprinkling of villas. Obviously, our HQ had the best. The squadron basically put in others, some better than others.
What were your quarters? What were your quarters?
Well, we were in this house, you know, it's quite a comfortable house. And men were in halls in the village. They were very comfortably ensconced as well. Because they may have took training, started training again, troop training, squadron training, and went on courses. We supplied parties of stretcher bearers. We supplied, we manned the quiet parts of the line as infantry.
What sort of courses did you go on?
Several troop leaders went on some unit commander courses at Benevento, and I went on one. Came get back just in time for Christmas.
What did you learn on the course? Was there anything new for you on that?
I frankly can't remember much about it. It was interesting, but it didn't sort of, I didn't come back. Well, I think it sort of made one, what was subconscious became conscious, about how to run the squadron, but otherwise I couldn't, let, I didn't come away with a clear impression about it. Anything for them. Several of my comrades were asked to give lectures on what they'd learnt, but I was spared that time. Christmas intervened. And then I was keen to improve my military knowledge as much as possible. I went on another course at, just north of London. I think it was on the intelligence, but I don't really know about anything about it. See, we didn't keep diary of some did, but I was always rather a conformist. We weren't supposed to keep diaries and try to have it. I wrote him to my parents, so I needed to tell them a bit, but it was all, I never gave a single location or anything.
Did you get post on a reasonable basis?
Yes. Post was pretty good. We had these. We only got so many air letters a month, I think, about three or something. I don't remember. But we could write unlimited numbers of what we called aircrafts, which were, that's my photograph. I got my mother kept my letters, and most of them anyway. I was able, when I filled in my military career, which you wanted me to do, and I encountered that because I wrote it out from them and then I checked it with that. It's amazing how long it got wrong, about 1 or 2 months. So.
You mentioned going up and holding sections of the line, acting as infantry.
Yeah.
What sort of positions were you manning when you were doing that?
The trenches were already dug, normally. Slip trenches were already dug, fortunately, in my case. And then we just told the beginners map levels, and we pondered on up these tracks. And then go years later, I was leaving the troop and singing trial, and they say unless the leading people in the company goes deliberately slow, they're one of the ends were racing hard to keep up. And I got a bit of a complaint about that. Jockey complained about that.
What, you're going too fast for them?
Making him proper then. But anyway, the man was trenches and nothing happened.
How long were you in them?
I began it one night out.
Did you do any patrolling or anything of that sort? No. You were just sitting in the...
No. Mm. I think all the armoured units provided personnel to do this.
Mm. What sort of ground were you on in these trenches?
It wasn't rocky, from what I remember. Really muddy. It must have been the side of a mountain.
What could you see looking forward from your...
One of my men got a bit bomb, I think, shot up into this beast on his machine gun.
I was going to ask you what weapons you had with you. Had you been supplied with standard infantry weapons for this purpose?
Tommy guns and rifles.
Yeah. Where did those come from?
Well, I've forgotten what... They always had a Tommy gun in the tank. And the troop commander had the use of the Tommy gun. And I think, of course, our personal weapons were pistols, so we would be the only issue, the manual issue with rifles. But thinking of the fellow who did lose something, we must have all had Tommy gun for that.
Do you know who you were relieving for that night? Watch. But presumably it was a formal relief. You would have had to go up and be ushered into the...
Yes, no, I don't think it was a formal relief, because I think it wouldn't be manned in the daytime.
Oh. At least just nighttime position.
Yeah. Some chaps organising mule parties. And that constant demands for men for this and that. And it was all on the rotation.
What did your soldiers think about suddenly being transformed into infantry?
Nothing at all. Very wild, but they didn't. As you see, one had to go back to one's initial training. It didn't do much. I always regretted that, really. We had no intermission training for some soldiers. Very importantly, I mean, obviously, we got the pipe there. We couldn't get it further with your vehicle, or if you exposed your vehicle, you would be shot at. We did a foot patrol. I mean, I didn't hesitate to undertake foot patrols within limits. I mustn't get out of touch with my tank for very long. We were really drilled into it. We had to get information. We couldn't just sit and observe.
Do you think you would have been better if you'd been given more training in field craft?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I always regret it.
You were saying also that you were used as stretcher bearers. How did that happen? And what did you do on that occasion?
Well, they'd report to the casualty clearing stations, and they'd be sent up to the first aid base. And as casualties Well, the soldiers, often they, I think the Kaiser soldiers brought them. They want their comrades back. And they would be carrying on switches from then on. Mm. I remember anybody telling me they went out in the middle of the battlefield as they brought it down on the first floor. But it was really coming down the treacherous mountain path. It was no joke. We supplied a lot of threatened artists when we went to the land of that.
How long were you at Setignano?
No, I was there from the end of October to the middle of March.
What happened then? What happened to
Well, I was on this course that created just to the northeast of Rome. And I got this message to when the course was ending to report to Pesaro.
Yes.
On the Adriatic. And
did that come as a surprise to you?
Yes, it did. We thought that we'd go through the Apennines towards Bologna, I guess. But, quite a lot of advance had been made on the Adriatic side, paid for the long river line. They were well into the parallel and maritime. The spring offensive started. Yes, it did come as a surprise.
Do you remember what you'd been learning at Rieti?
I think it was an intelligence course. I can't remember.
How did you actually get to Pesaro to rejoin?
Oh. You go into Rome. I think there was a certain amount of regimental division of transport going back to Rome. Supply depots near Rome, and people on leave. Everything had to be by road transport because the railways were all shut up. There was no difficulty about arranging that.
What did you find when you got to Pesaro?
Well, the whole regiment was together in some peacetime conditions. I can't remember whether it was in barracks or what, but we were fairly well concentrated. And we had drilled and all sorts of things. We weren't used to them, didn't we? But,
it sounds like that was a bit of a shock.
Yes.
Going back to drill.
Yes. You see, everything on operations, it's not too regimental. And you wanted to make sure that the regiment had smart soldiers again and so forth. And discipline wasn't slipping. But mostly we were addressing finding out all we could about the terrain on which we were supposed to operate.
How did you go about doing that? How did you get, what were your source of information?
Well, of course, the 1st Armored Division had been involved in the autumn attack. And there was a lot of liaison with them. And the vision were always very helpful. And there would be tubes and some exercises, but I don't remember any good exercises.
What was the terrain like, the terrain ahead of you, where you were going to be operating next? Remember what you learned about it?
Well, when you think of playing in love with that, you don't know. In fact, it's the same old sort. I mean, the mountain streams rushing down the jungle of the power. An innumerable number of obstacles and very intensive farming. Drains, you know.
Drainage ditches.
Yeah. Banks and orchards. Difficult country, really, for tanks. No clear line of vision often. No field of vision. And a limited one.
Was that because the ground was basically flat, or was it because there were lots of obstacles?
It was flat and tree lined borders, ditches, on the ditches too. Poplars.
So, what sort of line of sight would you have? How far could you see normally? On the plain of Lombardy.
On the first day I operated maybe about 400 yards.
What about
which the... Which could have been full of German infantry with bazookas. Well, could have been no one there at all, you just didn't know.
Mm-hmm. When you were operating earlier up the valley of the Arno, was that heavily cultivated?
Yes, yes, the Italians there. They do use every bit of usable land they can. Mm-hmm.
So, when you were going up the Valley of the Arno, how far ahead could you see there normally? What was the sort of range of your line of sight?
Well,
was it more open and clearer
than
the Po Valley?
Yes, it was. There, you could get up a bit and see, you see, like I climbed up the hillside and you could see the, 20 miles away, the 12 miles in the forest. But, it's just like the fence in the Pearl Valley. And I know that was troublesome for on the Garrick side. Back in 1940. But it worked because they used these trees so much, the poplars of the town, screens.
Do you think that your familiarity with the Fen landscape was an advantage to you in working on the plain of Lombardy and in the Po Valley?
Was it? I didn't want to. I certainly didn't. I never wanted to repeat what happened to me at Sandhurst when we checked with them. They were steep and climb and then down into a pit and throw a tractor. You were very conscious there. You could easily throw a tractor if you were careful there. We were out of action then. We didn't. We avoided that at all costs. There were limits to what Germans could do. They were very good war horses, but they had their limits.
What about the Hunnies? Were they relatively better or worse than the Sherman at crossing difficult ground?
Well, they couldn't tackle the same obstacles. But they were pretty robust. The only thing if they came under a fire and they died, they'd be more to do it.